welcome back. It's Late Night with John Hansen and Lise Graham. My name is Lise, and I'm very honored and delighted to be joined by Chris Witaski, who is on the rise. I mean, I would say he's already like way up there in the stratos in LA, but he started, as most great comedics do, in right here in Sweet Home Chicago. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Lise. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on. I want to lead this interview in just thanking you again for believing in me early on in my interview career, aka like episode 8, I think, of my podcast. You probably had no idea how not legitimate I was at that point, but you said yes to the interview regardless. So thanks for being tricked by me.
It was my pleasure to be a guest on Lise FM.
Lise FM. Thank you. Plug. Okay. So let's get right into it. Since we talked last on the air together, that was like June or something, and you didn't even mention that you were going to be in what is now one of the best movies of 2017, Lady Bird. So let's just go ahead and use that as our entry point. How did that come to be for you? Did you know anybody involved in the making of the film, or were you kind of just like cold audition for that? And tell me a little bit about the part you played. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't know anybody involved, but I did know the casting director, who is Allison Jones, who is like this big time comedy casting director out in Los Angeles. And she it has been a fan of mine for a while, when she actually originally saw me on stage at Second City in Chicago, because she will make a yearly trip to Chicago to scout new talent. And so Allison Jones was the casting director for Lady Bird, and she just offered me a part. So one day I just got a call that said, Allison Jones would love for you to be, have a part in this movie, and it films next week. And that was it.
Wait, you got it the week before it filmed?
Yeah.
So is that how it usually happens? Or do you usually have a little more lead time than that? Did you have to like cancel a dentist appointment or something?
Well, it usually happens where you audition first. So this like straight to like offer, which is really cool if it happens, but it rarely happens. So I did not have to audition for the part, because I think Allison Jones just believes that I could do it. And then she thought the character's name was Business Jock. So she.
What a good name. You know, that's number one in the baby names for 2018, I hear.
Right. So I found out like a week before, and then was filming. I knew nothing about the movie. I knew that Greta Gerwig was directing it, and I knew she was cool and is cool, but totally didn't realize that it would be this like great Oscar contender that it is right now.
Yeah, have you seen it in theaters since it was released?
I did. I went to the little premiere thing out here.
The little premiere thing. Oh, okay. How was it? Did you walk down the red carpet? Yeah?
It was really cool. Yeah, no, I skipped the red carpet. But
you skipped down the red carpet? Cool. Oh, that sounds fun. Just kidding. sorry, I'll stop like making a bunch of jokes and just trying to match your level of comedic talent. Okay, so then let's talk about the fact that you have had this happen to you twice. You've been, well, I know you auditioned for Love on Netflix, which is Judd Apatow's latest amazing, well, maybe not latest, maybe he's done something since then, but it's one of his babies, and you know that he makes it a really good show. So that's Paul Rust, Gillian Jacobs, Chris Witaski. So how did you get involved in that? Give me a little lowdown, because I know you auditioned for, what, three different roles?
I auditioned for three different roles, and for Judd's stuff, he likes people who can improvise, and so during the audition, I got to improvise a lot, which is really kind of my wheelhouse. So I got to kind of showcase my talents there, but the first three parts that I auditioned for weren't quite right for me. So then I guess I had impressed them enough with my auditions that they decided to just go ahead and write a part for me.
Named Chris.
That's why my character's name is Chris, yeah.
and it was like kind of modeled after your experience, your narrative arc. You lived in Chicago, you worked at a steakhouse, and you wanted to be a stuntman. No, maybe not that part. Like, so you probably didn't even have to do much research. You're just like, you just showed up and were your goofy self? Or was it kind of more tricky?
Well, the other thing that was cool was the writers would like invite me into the writer's room a couple different times and just kind of interview me. And so I would kind of just tell them about my backstory, my real backstory. And so then I think they would take some of that and, you know, mine from it.
That's amazing.
So yes, I worked at Mike Ditka's restaurant.
Shout out.
Ditka's Steakhouse.
Like, what was your job there?
Oh, baby. I started as the only male host. And then I worked my, and then I, because I had no serving experience, and then I worked my way up to the maitre d' of the cigar bar, which is upstairs where Coach Ditka hangs out.
I bet that looked good on your resume.
Yeah, it was good for my lungs too, breathing all that cigar smoke for years. And then they finally made me a silver, a waiter, where I had to do the crappy breakfast shift.
So it was like a consolation thing. They were like, "You did your time. Go for it."
Yes, and I finally got to be a dinner waiter, where I realized that I am not a good waiter.
See, that's what it takes sometimes, man. I'm a terrible. Yeah. I'm terrible in food service too. It's hard. What a grueling job.
My gosh. It really is. I still have nightmares. Like, I still have serving nightmares where
I wake up
and I'm like, I forgot to bring ketchup to table.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ditka. While we're there in your life, you know, what do you miss about Chicago? You're out in LA. I know you come back for holidays and Cubs games when you throw out the opening pitch and stuff, you know, you celebrity. but what's the like difference between LA and Chicago, would you say? I mean, besides like the weather, which how is it there right now? Because it's snowing currently.
It's snowing right now. Oh my god! I'm looking at blue skies. It's about 70 degrees, sunshine. Went to the dog park today in shorts. Beautiful.
Okay, so you don't miss the snow? It sounds like.
You know, I miss the snow around the holidays, and I do miss the seasons because I love fall, and we don't really get much of a fall out here, so I miss that. But I do not miss 10 below when you're like walking to the train and just like cursing.
Oh my god, which is like every day of my life. So do you attribute Chicago to be like, you know, the reason that you are where you are today, like the comedy scene in Chicago, or do you think that it was like you're just really good and you would have been good anywhere? Like what's that all about for you? Because I know, you know, I mean, this is like a unique city in that so much comedy has come from here, has been born, so many different varieties and so many different legendary names.
So, yes, I attribute any kind of success that I've had thus far out here to my time in Chicago. I think that I started taking classes at Second City when I was like 13. And so I really got the total Chicago comedy experience from classes to performing at Second City, but also at I.O. and The Annoyance. And I got to write my own stuff and I got to improvise. And so I really attribute my time in Chicago to any success that I've had.
Absolutely. And your cronies out there, are they kind of from all over the place?
So Chicago sticks together like glue.
Mm-hmm.
We all hang out all the time, and the people who you know, after you kind of do your time in Chicago, people either usually move to New York or L.A., and I would say more people move to L.A., and so we all kind of try to stick together, and we work on each other's projects and go to each other's birthday parties and have game nights and all that stuff. So we definitely still hang as much as we can.
What's your favorite kind of like typical night in Chicago? Like thinking back to when you were on the main, were you on the main stage at Second City or at ETC? Or
I was on the ETC stage.
Okay.
Yes. And then also did the touring company.
Oh, amazing. So like when you were on ETC stage, what would a typical day in the life of Chris Witaski circa 2000, whenever that was, be? Because I'm really like, would you sleep till noon? Did you get up and have a morning routine, or did you get up? I guess you went and worked the breakfast shift sometimes.
Sometimes. Well, when I was in Second City, I had quit Ditka's by then, thank God.
Oh, good. So what were you doing for cash?
You know, Second City's the only paying, real paying gig in town for the most part. I mean, don't quote me on that, but but you know, you can barely live on Second City money.
End quote, Chris Witaski. Throw that on their billboard.
Yes.
That's amazing. So, okay, so what would you do then day to day?
So, yes, I would usually sleep in, wake up, probably hungover, get my Dunkin' Donuts coffee,
ooh,
maybe get
DD.
Breakfast, maybe drag my ass to Export Gym, which is
right next door.
City.
Yep, that's good. Climb the climbing wall.
By the way, I was living right across the street from Twin Anchors Restaurant on Sedgwick for many years. Yes,
yeah.
And so it was walking. That's just to say, it was walking distance to Second City. So
okay.
I usually go to Export and then start getting ready for the show that night.
So then you would do the show and get raucous applause, and then you'd go to Old Town. I'm just predicting the rest of the night. Go to Old Town Ale House and drink yourself into a stupor, and that sounds like a great day. So do you miss that? Do you miss doing that? Or are you like so glad that you have moved on from those endless headaches, literally?
Do I miss being young and having fun? Yes, I do.
Okay, that's essentially what I asked. You're still young. You're still having fun. It's just a little more serious now.
Yes. No, there's part of me that misses it, but then there's part of me that loves my life right now. And it's because of the Old Town Ale House in Quilkins that I am now 3 years sober.
Oh, and, congrats.
My life is very different than it was during those days now.
I bet it is. Absolutely. Yes. You've got a cute dog. You've got a beautiful fiance who is amazingly funny and talented in her own right, Miss Katie O'Brien.
Sure is.
And how are things looking for your future? We've got Love coming out, season 3, the final season, which makes me want to cry because I love that show. But also, I feel like all good shows stick to 3 seasons, you know, like that's like a theory, right?
You know, it's like you tell a great story, you get in and you get out.
I agree. Okay, so what are you excited about for season 3?
Yes, so season 3 of Love comes out on March 9th on Netflix. On Netflix is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And including
not a Netflix near you.
It's funny because now Netflix is worldwide, and so I will occasionally get like a message or like an Instagram, you know, post that says like, Brazil loves you. Please come to Brazil.
Hey, dude, take it out, man. That sounds awesome.
Oh, great.
So are you going to have like a viewing party, or is that totally weird? Are you just going to ignore the fact that it came out? Like, what's your angle there?
I think maybe some of us are going to get together from the cast and crew and probably have a little viewing party or something. But it's going to be a great season. My character has a whole huge storyline that I'm really looking forward to people seeing. And I think it's going to be the funniest season so far. And I've only seen bits and pieces, actually. So I'm just really excited to see it myself.
That's amazing. And all the episodes come out at once, right?
All at once, yes. Okay. So you can binge.
See, I'm like so skeptical. I'm like nervous to binge it because then it's over, you know? It's like...
Right, I know. You got to spread it out. You have to have self-discipline.
Pragmatic.
To be like, I'm only watching 1 or 2 episodes tonight.
And then also you mentioned to me that Summer Nights, your improv group, people might recognize that name from IO Theater way back when it was in Wrigleyville. So what are you guys working on, or what can you talk about it?
So Summer Nights was an improv group that we started in Chicago at, and we were performing at IO. To sold out crowds. And now we're all out here, but we're all also Second City alumni. So the people in the group are Poonam Patel, Emily Walker, Tim Stoltenberg, John Hartman, and Mike Kaczynski.
Oh, and nice. So, that's great. I recognize some of those names for sure.
Yeah. So we all met each other and worked together at Second City and at IO. And now we're all out here. And so we decided to get together and develop a project together that we can then go out and pitch and try to sell as a TV show. And next week, actually, we're going out to pitch it around town to like places like Comedy Central and IFC and FX and a whole bunch of other places.
Wow.
And so the idea is, I don't want to give too much away, but it's kind of like, it's got a mockumentary feel to it.
Great.
And if you've ever seen or heard of the movie Waiting for Guffman,
absolutely,
yes,
mm-hmm.
It kind of has a Waiting for Guffman vibe to it, and it's about a small town with a lot of wacky characters.
Sounds like the ideal show. I mean, Twin Peaks, it worked for them, right?
Right, right.
Awesome. I'm so excited to hear about that, and we will have you on again very soon, I'm sure. Chris Witowski, amazing comedian, can be found, I think it's at Witow, W-I-T-O-W, is that correct?
That's right, on Instagram, yep.
On Instagram. What's your Twitter handle?
I think it's just my name, so Chris Witowski, okay. At Twitter, wherever the hell that is.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Oh my God, is it Witowski? Have I been mispronouncing it the whole time?
Oh, no. I pronounce it differently every time.
Okay, perfect. Well, then I'm glad we're in that together. Thank you so much for joining me, Chris. And, you know, so proud of you. We're all rooting for you here in Chicago. Are you going to be at the Oscars, or are you going to be watching them?
I'm going to be watching them. I will not be at the Lady Bird table, but I will be rooting for Lady Bird to win Best Picture. How cool would that be?
Oh my gosh, it will be cool because I feel like it's going to happen. I don't know.
I hope
my prediction. Okay, thank you so much, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Lise.